They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew.
Fairfax Radio, today I'm really thrilled and happy to have a beautiful, smiling lady sitting across from me. She's in the studio, and it is none other than Martha Bonetta. Martha, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Sue. I'm a huge fan, and it's always such a pleasure to see you and an honor to be on your show.
I am thrilled to have you here, Martha. You've been having some real big problems and some real major issues coming through. Tell us about it. Just to give people a reminder, you're fighting.
Yes.
Big time because you're a farmer. And they don't like farmers.
What's the problem? I'll give you a little background about myself. I grew up in Mount Vernon, Virginia, on what we were told growing up was a part of George Washington's vast farmland. And I'm the youngest of three girls. And, you know, my mom and dad had kitchen gardens in the backyard. And from there really grew a real strong sense of respect and appreciation for our family farmers that really helped build this country. And from there really grew my love and dream to be a family farmer one day myself. And so around 8 years ago, that dream became reality. My family purchased Liberty Farm, which is a working farm in Paris, Virginia. And I never dreamed that there'd be miles and miles of regulation. And additionally, my family purchased a farm from an environmental land trust. And an environmental land trust, they were created. The whole conservation easement program was created with the idea to preserve open space and to prevent development so that we would have open space protected. Each conservation easement is unique. They're negotiated in a unique way for each landowner. Mine permits commercial, residential, agricultural, and industrial uses. And right away, my family, we were told that we'd be able to farm forever. So I never imagined in a million years that this environmental group would work in collusion and conspire with my local county government and realtors to force my family off of our farm. And so as you can imagine, it was shocking and stunning. You know, growing up, I thought that the environmental groups were the good guys. I never dreamed in a million years that they would collude and conspire and do so many things to hurt our family. It's been 8 long years of almost daily threats and fear of what they're going to do to us next.
8 years?
8 years. And what happened was that, you know, almost from day one, they started harassing my family. Sometimes we would get, you know, 20 or more communications in a day. They would have these demand inspections, or sometimes they would bring 5 or 6 people with them and, you know, demand to inspect our farm. And it
was. What were they looking for, Martha? Were they inspecting?
That's an excellent question, and you're going to be shocked when I tell you. But it started off, one of the early things they did was tell us that, you know, we had to remove our recreational vehicle from our 64-acre farm, even though we're surrounded by thousands of acres of farmland, because they thought it was offensive to the view shed.
What?
Yes, they thought that the RV was offensive because they thought that it corrupted and polluted the open space values of the surrounding area. Now, I want you to think about that. An RV is considered a recreational vehicle. It has a license plate on it. It's registered with the state motor vehicles department, and they thought it was offensive. They felt they had the right to tell us that we couldn't have a vehicle on our property of our choosing. That's how it started, and from there, the trespass and the abusive conduct got so bad that they had us fence off almost 20 acres of our farm. Not only could we not have our animals graze there or get shelter under the trees.
And that's land you own. That's 20
and
acres.
And we loan. We pay the mortgage on it. We built the fencing for it. We take care of it. They forced our family to fence it off because they claimed it was hallowed ground. Now, we didn't know any better. We thought, wow, you know, these are the good guys. Surely they wouldn't be forcing us to do something that they have no authority to do. After all, they're an environmental land trust, right? They're environmentalists. They have to be what they're telling me has to be correct. So my family fenced off an enormous chunk of our farm. We not only could animals not use it, but not even humans. Children couldn't play there. Our family couldn't use it. No animals could use it. And finally, I approached the land trust. The land trust is called the Piedmont Environmental Council, headquartered in Warrenton, Virginia. And I said, where in the easement do you have authority to basically do a taking? You know, there was no difference from what they told my family to do. If it was almost like an eminent domain taking. They came in a police state manner and said we had no choice. We had to fence off all of this land. They said that I was right, that they had no authority whatsoever, that they had made a mistake. So sad, too bad. You shouldn't have listened to us. You shouldn't have done what we, yeah.
But now, you're an attorney, right? So you're able
I mean, I went to law school, but I mean, I've never practiced.
It's not gobbledygook when you sit there and you read some of these documents.
Well,
you understand.
It is gobbledygook in the sense that I feel as though this particular land trust, the Piedmont Environmental Council, has taken advantage of the easement to impose and harass and abuse their authority to the point where we have demand inspections where they come into our home in a police-like state manner without a warrant and demand to inspect our closets, our drawers, our personal private possessions. They inspect our toilets, our bathtubs, our laundry room, and photograph everything. So my question is,
what are they looking for, Martha? I mean, I can't believe that anybody would come into your house and go through your closets.
Oh, it's absolutely outrageous. And my question is, number one, what's in my closet? What does that have to do with the environment? Protecting and preserving the environment, which is their mission statement, which is what they receive millions and millions of dollars to do. And number two, what does my laundry have to do with the environment and their authority and my dirty laundry, which would include everything from my undergarments to overalls? What does that have to do with the environment? Why are they photographing my personal clothing and items that my family and I need on a working farm? And why are they inspecting my toilets and my bathtubs? What does that have to do with the environment? And you know, why are they harassing my family? And finally, you know, what does the Piedmont Environmental Council have against freedom? The freedom to farm in without fear. The ability for a small family farm to engage in agricultural pursuits without the constant fear and threat of what are they going to do to my family next? Why don't they just leave us alone so we can farm in peace? And, you know, that's really the American dream, right? I mean, the ultimate American dream is to be able to work really hard and to achieve your dreams. And instead, what we're finding is that these land trusts have no accountability whatsoever, none. And it really begs the question, should there be any of these land trusts, these private land trusts? Should they even exist when there's no accountability whatsoever? There's so much opportunity. It's ripe for abuse, as we've seen in my case. And should we allow that to happen as a society, as a culture, when it imposes so much hardship on a family farm, as has been the case with my family?
Can you tell us exactly what a land trust is? Can you define that?
Sure. Well, I can tell you from the perspective of the Piedmont Environmental Council. So the Piedmont Environmental Council is a 501c3 nonprofit that is supposed to be engaged in, and I'm using quotes here, protecting and preserving the environment. They have the ability to place conservation easements on farmland. And they're supposed to act in the interests of the public good. So from that perspective, one must ask, if that's the case, how is it that the Piedmont Environmental Council entered into a top secret, private, confidential arrangement with realtors, secreted away from the public? We found out about this through litigation, and it is an appalling assault on liberty and on the good things that come from conservation. You know, not all conservation is bad, but in this case, it is, it really calls into question and makes us all really wonder, you know, how is it possible that a 501c3 land trust would enter into a top secret confidential agreement with realtors specifically over our family farm. Additionally, we have extraordinary amounts of communications that show collusion and conspiracy to force my family off the farm through having the county find us in violation for things like having a birthday party for 8-10-year-old little girls, carving pumpkins in our pumpkin patch, and not to mention the fact that the individuals that the Piedmont Environmental Council entered into this private contractual relationship with tried to have my mortgage called in and tried to purchase my mortgage and went on this spree, if you will, of trying to do everything possible that they could to harass my family to the point of either forcing us to lose our farm or forcing us to give up and just walk away. And to live this for 8 years is absolutely terrifying. And, you know, no American should have to experience this ever on a small family farm. You know, farming is a profession of hope. It takes a lot of hope to be a farmer. You have to really have a lot of faith and believe in the impossible, because when you're a farmer, everything from, you know, Mother Nature's wrath of unpredictable weather to drought can really impact your production. And you really need to have all the support you can from the community at large. Instead, what we've seen here is that the Piedmont Environmental Council has made, has taken away the beauty of what a conservation easement is supposed to be. And instead of it being a win-win environment, a win-win situation for everyone, it's, they've created a lose-lose scenario for everyone, because, what they've done is infuse fear into what would otherwise be a beautiful program, because no family wants to be harassed for 8 years and spend extraordinary amounts of money defending their freedom to farm. And that's what's happened to me. And to learn that all of these backdoor secretive things were going on, I think is when there's a 501c3 involved and yet there's no transparency to the American public, is it's really disturbing, and it's very scary, and it affects us all. It affects all of us, whether you're a farmer or a consumer of farm goods, or you own property or not, because at the end of the day, this is about land grabbing, and it's about you know, government endorsed conservation programs where there is no oversight whatsoever with these private land trusts that are engaging in activity that is terrifying. And, you know, it's my hope and my prayer that my family will finally have peace. And, you know, the importance here is awareness and really, you know, what do we need to do to cure this problem? Because conservation easements are relatively new in the history of time. And so, you know, oftentimes when there's a new entity like this that governs land or, you know, real property rights, these things will occur. And as they do, you know, we need to come in immediately and fix them so that the landowner is made whole. Because right now, there's nothing in place, short of litigation, to make a family whole when they've been harassed and terrorized like my family has from the Piedmont Environmental Council.
The American dream has often been said. It's the property ownership. And for some reason, that has turned into a horror story across the country.
Absolutely. Life, liberty, property rights, and the American dream.
And yeah, and it's become a horror story, and yours is a real horror story. What you've been describing is just terrible, and I know of a couple of instances where people have had HOA presidents walk in and inspect and search their premises and tell them what they can have and what they can't have. Now, why is it, what on earth were they looking for going through your closet, your bathroom, your laundry room, your dirty laundry, and photographing it? What did they do with that?
Well, you know, that is really a tragedy, I have to say. It is, it's invasive.
It is.
It's unreasonable. It is irrational. And what we have here is this element of hysteria, because when you have, you know, ultimate power corrupts, right?
Yes.
And ultimately, we should all of us, as a members of a peaceful society that works together, we should all be working for truth, justice, and the American way. And that means having predictability, having some sort of, you know, good faith best practices when you have a land trust, a 501c3 nonprofit that's supposed to be for the public good, not for their good, their own good, not for, you know, special realtors that they're, you know, intimately connected with. It's supposed to be for the public at large. And instead, what we have here is just a really a gross warping of the good intentions of conservation in our nation. And it only takes one thing that's very interesting is that this particular land trust, the Piedmont Environmental Council, they have said publicly, we only do it 3 hours a year. Well, what's the problem? So basically, basically how I interpret that is we only harass and terrorize her for three hours a year on her farm. What's the problem? Well, I'll tell you what the problem is that this is the United States of America and we love freedom here. And even 1 second of torturing and tormenting and harassing a farmer in this nation is unacceptable. So just for me to say, to hear, oh, well, you know, it's only 3 hours a year. What's the problem? That is just such a, arrogant, and the hubris in those statements is just, it shows lack of compassion and it shows lack of,
respect.
And, it just shows the attitude, which is, you know, we are without any oversight whatsoever. There is no accountability. We can do whatever we want. And so sad, too bad, farm owner, landowner, taxpayer, mortgage payer. So sad, too bad. There's nothing you can do to us. We're like, you know, the Teflon, Environmental Land Trust, the Piedmont Environmental Council.
And how long have they been after you since the beginning?
Absolutely. Before the ink was even dry after, you know, my family purchased this farm. And there's some very interesting, peculiar, curious things that happened around the purchase of this farm. My family purchased this farm from the Piedmont Environmental Council.
Oh.
They gave themselves the easement. Now, I want you to think about that. A 501c3 land trust entrusted for the public good. Be a partnership with a landowner. That's the intention of these conservation easements. They're intended to be a partnership, a working together relationship. It's not meant to be a police state, terrifying, experience where, the land trust, you know, lords over you like you're a serf on your own land. And
that's what it amounts to.
Absolutely it does. And it's supposed to be a working, wonderful relationship, a lifelong relationship that often lasts for generations. And instead, the Piedmont Environmental Council has turned this into a terrorizing experience. For 8 years, I've been in almost constant litigation. I've received threatening stand-down orders. Shortly, you know, before the ink was even dry on the easement itself, the Piedmont Environmental Council sent a stand down order. I couldn't even bush hog, which is to cut my grass. I could do nothing. I couldn't do anything without asking permission. I want you to think about that. A farmer not being able to do anything, nothing, without asking the Environmental Land Trust permission, which, by the way, there is nothing in the conservation easement that gave them the authority to do such a thing. It was so egregious, such a gross overstep. They have no authority to tell us when we can cut our grass, what kind of a fence we can install, where our animals can graze, whether we can have a chicken coop on a property that's designed for agricultural uses, that allows for agricultural uses. You know, there's something fatally wrong when a land trust becomes so empowered that they feel like they can trample on and step on and destroy an entire farm family because there is no oversight in place. And that's what's happened here. And it's devastating. It's devastating because it's not just about our family, but it's about, you know, every single American in our country because, we are paying taxes.
Yeah.
That are paying for these programs that have no accountability or transparency. And what I'd like to see long term is that, you know, these private 501c3 land trusts are no longer in existence because there is no accountability or transparency to the American people.
They sound good, right? Maybe too good to be true.
Well, absolutely. And yeah. You know, here's something that I read online actually this morning. Somebody said that the worm always has a hook. And you know what? These conservation easements, if the Piedmont Environmental Council is allowed to continue on this wrath of harassment, then there's a serious problem. And we need to step in as citizens, as Americans, that love and cherish our freedom, that love and cherish what our founding fathers created for us to have freedom and to own property. and to have quiet enjoyment on our land, we need to step in and we need to correct this, and we need to have laws in place to prevent any family from ever having to experience the nightmare that I have all these years.
And they didn't have land trusts, and they didn't have associations, and they didn't have condos, and they didn't have all of these things that are going to take your property away from you. And somehow they managed to survive and thrive.
Yes. Yes, they did. And you know, and it's interesting because as I look back over what's happened here, it is such an assault on liberty at some of the most profound levels.
Yeah.
Because it's a violation of the trust of the people. And, you know, I feel as though we need to really sit back and think about, you know, what do we value as Americans, right? What do we love our country. We love our freedom. And, you know, part of that is the ability to have quiet enjoyment in our homes and to not feel terrorized. And, you know, what's happened in this case is that this land trust acted in a police state-like manner as a policing official. Coming in, inspecting every corner, demanding to look in crevices and look everywhere, and going into attic space and photographing my personal private possessions. And that's all beyond the scope of their authority, completely.
And there was nothing you could do to stop them.
There was nothing short of litigation. And that's why we really need to have legislation in place, because if it could happen to me, it could happen to anybody.
Now, Martha, you are the poster child for farming in this state, at least, and I think you're going to end up being the poster child across the country. You have done an absolutely incredible job of getting information out there, of letting people know the fate of the small family farmer. You did manage to get some legislation passed last year.
Yes.
You managed to get a property rights rally going in Richmond. And you're working on more legislation.
Yes. And, you know, the expression, it takes a village.
Yes.
And I have to tell you that, if I could give any advice to anybody, it would be to never, ever, ever give up. Because if it wasn't for my faith in God, the love for my country, my family and my friends, you know, it would not have been possible to push forward for legislation that helps countless, countless people. And, you know, the legislation that was passed, it's good not only for farmers, but it's good for consumers too, to have access to locally produced goods. We're losing our small family farmers at an epic rate. We have a fraction of what we used to in our nation. And yet there's this emerging love and passion for locally produced farm goods. And there's not enough, farm products to satisfy that need and that demand. You know, restaurants are putting the local farms where they get their eggs and their vegetables from and their herbs, and they're putting that on their menus because they're so proud.
Yes.
And yet, you know, what we should be doing is doing everything possible to help our small family farmers instead of over-regulating them, which is another irony I want to point out. You know, the Piedmont Environmental Council likes to say that, you know, they support and they care about small family farmers, yet they fought vehemently against the legislation that helps small family farmers. So I want you to think about that.
That's not surprising. I mean, that seems to be across the board.
On the one hand, they want to say, oh, well, we're all about saving and helping small family farmers. Here, small family farmer, put your land in a conservation easement and you'll be able to farm forever. Well, I can tell you right now, my family was told we'd be able to farm forever, and it's been 8 years of living terror, having the Piedmont Environmental Council co-hold the easement on my family farm.
We're talking to Martha Bonetta. Martha owns Paris Farms in Paris, Virginia, and she also has a Facebook page. And every time I go on there and I see Martha, she's there hugging and playing with animals. And, in fact, I wrote and told her that she made me feel like I wanted to become a farmer, too. And this is a city girl. But I know what you mean, because I grew up on the Mediterranean where we had fresh fruit. And you know, it was seasonal. Tomatoes tasted like tomatoes.
Yes.
Cucumbers tasted like cucumbers. They smelled good.
Yes.
And I came to this country where there was all this abundance, and everything tasted like styrofoam because things had been picked months ago. They've been sitting in warehouses and in bottoms of ships coming from God knows where, and they don't taste good. So I love locally grown food.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think too that there's this real, you know, we talked about this real emergence, this real respect and appreciation. People want to get back to naturally, locally produced food. And it's been, I feel very blessed and I'm very grateful. You know, every moment on the land I love is such a privilege for me. It's a privilege for me to farm, and it's a privilege for me to be able to share what we produce with the community, because we put so much love and passion and so much of our heart into everything we do on the land. And, you know, one of the things I enjoy most, one of my greatest joys in life, is having families come and working with children. We work with lots of children and we do a lot of community outreach, and to have children come to the farm and to see that eggs come in all sorts of colors. They're not just white. You know, they don't just come in white styrofoam containers. We have pink eggs, green eggs, blue eggs. We have lavender eggs. We have dark brown, almost a maroon colored, you know, egg. And it just depends on, you know, what kind of a chicken lays them. And to see the wonder and the excitement in children's eyes when they, you know, they'll say, oh, are these, you know, did you color these eggs? Or, you know, they'll ask, are these Easter eggs? And to have them experience and harvest their own eggs and see where they come from and then engage with the chickens and the ducks and the turkeys. It is such a blessing and such a gift to be able to provide that experience and that opportunity. And, you know, something else I want to point out too is that this issue that we're speaking of, this is a nonpartisan issue.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what your political party is, where you fall on the political spectrum. It makes absolutely no difference at all. And one of the, because it's every American's issue, and it's every American's problem, and it's property rights are near and dear to us all.
Yes.
It doesn't matter where you are on the political spectrum. And I have had the privilege and the honor of experiencing that through coalitions that we've built that run the gamut of political affiliations. And it's been incredible, because while folks may not agree on anything else, when it comes to this issue, property rights, small family farms, freedom to farm without fear, having the choice and the access to consume locally produced goods, there's passion there, and it's universal, and it doesn't matter where you fall on the spectrum. And we see that time and time again. And here I was blessed so much, and I'm so grateful. This past Thursday, hundreds of you know, Virginians rallied. We had over 100 people come to our state capitol, and to come and be heard at a hearing to speak against an environmental land trust that had violated the trust of the people, and to witness that and to see them come from every walk of life. Families, you know, brought their children. They left their jobs, their homes, their responsibilities, because this was that important to them. And to see them come together was extraordinary. And that image will be forever in my heart. And I'm just eternally grateful and thankful. I'm thankful to be an American. I'm thankful to be a Virginian. And I just feel so grateful for all of the people, many of whom I may never have the opportunity to meet or thank, that that I've said, you know what, leave us alone. Let us farm in peace. We don't want the government intruding and interfering with our ability to make a livelihood, to make ends meet on our farm, to be able to survive. You know, we're peaceful farmers. We care deeply about the land. We believe in being good stewards to the land. And, you know, whether it's the local county government or an extreme environmental group, we feel as though we should be able to farm in peace. And we're just asking to be left alone so that we can do that. And that's a reasonable thing to ask, you know.
Absolutely.
It's a reasonable expectation when you're on a farm that you'll be able to be left alone.
You inspire so many people. Mm-hmm. I know that a year or two ago you also inspired your local farmers to come out and show up with pitchforks.
Yes.
Because they were so ticked off with
yes.
what was going on.
Yes.
And what was happening to you.
Yeah.
Through it all, Martha, you're always smiling. You're sitting here, you're smiling. You're always grateful. You're always thankful. You're always pleasant. You're always nice. Inside you someplace, there must be that. I know I would be doing it.
And you know, and I think that really comes from, and I get asked that a lot. I would say I am asked most often, you know, where does my positive attitude come from? And, you know, and I pray for the Piedmont Environmental Council. I pray for them to find peace, and I pray for them to be rational and to be reasonable.
And to see
that, you know, what they're doing is extremely harmful, and it's hurtful, and it hurts not only have they done incredible damage, and they've done years of abusive conduct that's hurt and harmed my family, but they hurt our community at large. They hurt us all, you know, because what they've done is they've taken the trust away from a really good program. that does good things because of their behavior. And I think that for me, my good attitude and my positive approach to life, it really comes from, you know, really deep inside me. I really believe in my country, and I really believe in freedom and fighting to protect liberty. And, you know, and I won't give up. I will not give up because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, property rights are so fundamental to who we are as a nation. And to give up would be to turn my back on the country I love and that I believe in with all my heart. And I won't do that. And so, you know, I approach everything with love in my heart. And, you know, it's my hope that, you know, we'll have peace at the end of the day. I think that the fact that literally thousands and thousands and thousands of Virginians and Americans have rallied behind this issue really speaks to how important this is and how significant it is that, there's awareness, and with awareness comes responsibility and accountability. And so, you know, we're hopeful as our coalitions grow and expand that, we will be able to have, you know, best management practices in place for the land trusts, because right now it is free reign. They are able to do virtually whatever they want, and there's nothing in place to protect the landowner. And that is a serious problem that affects all of us. And so, you know, that's what we're really working towards is, you know, having reasonable expectations in place, predictability, and certainly rational, reasonable people that aren't hysterical, you know, managing our lands in these positions.
You think they're still necessary?
I don't think that they are. I think that conservation is a good thing. I mean, I think, you know, it's a good thing to be good to the earth. I mean, I consider myself to be a good steward of the earth. I think small family farmers are some of the best stewards you could possibly ever want farming. But, you know, in terms of, you know, these entities, these conservation easements, private citizens don't need have a conservation easement to be good stewards to the land or to conserve. That's a choice they can make on their own. What's happened is that these conservation easements have created this sort of ability to pick and choose winners and losers. And in Virginia, there are tax credits that are sold on the open market. You know, there's a lot of question about that. You know,
tax
so basically
credits.
What happens is, let's say your property is worth $100,000.
Okay.
You give up the development rights for that property. Let's say it reduces the value of your property to $50,000, which is something that nobody discusses, is what happens to the value in your property once you place a conservation easement on it. That $50,000 difference, oftentimes the landowner is given, for giving up the right to develop that land, is given something called tax credits, which they can use themselves or they can sell. Well, statistics show that the landowner, in most cases, never uses those tax credits for themselves. They use them and sell them on the open market like a commodity. And we really have to think about that. You know, what is the true intention of these programs? And, you know, since our tax dollars are largely contributing to them, you know, maybe the American people should be involved in that decision-making process. Maybe there should be referendums that allow for the American people to decide. Maybe Virginians should decide if they want to have their money going towards these programs. And maybe, you know, we should have the opportunity to decide how these land trusts, these private land trusts, and I want to make that distinction. I'm talking about private land trusts that have no oversight whatsoever, whether or not there should be accountability and transparency that does not exist right now.
How did they get started? Were they appointed by the government?
No, and that's the problem, okay, is that these private land trusts have no transparency whatsoever. And, you know, so what does a farmer do? What does a landowner do? What does a family do when they've been so abused and violated by a land trust? What do? They can't run to the General Assembly necessarily unless they pass new legislation. They have to be involved in litigation oftentimes for years. And in my case, I've been involved in litigation of some kind with the land trust almost since day one. And that shouldn't be the case. And, you know, it shouldn't be the case that a family has to spend hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to and take money away from their children, from their future, from their retirement, to educate their kids. They should lose all of that money that they've saved away or worked so hard for to fight the land trust and that's the irony of it too, right? Land trust.
Trust,
you know, the trust has been violated here. And so, you know, I think that moving forward, there needs to be, you know, a real awareness and an understanding of how important it is that we have some infrastructure in place when we're talking about a land trust that has so much power over thousands and thousands and thousands of acres of land. And, you know, to really consider, you know, what their expectations should be, what the American public's expectations should be of these land trusts, because right now there is no predictability whatsoever. In my case, the Piedmont Environmental Council entered into these top secret agreements that was secreted away from the public with realtors. They lobbied my county government to come after me. They engaged in a series of really reckless activities that included trespassing on my rights on my land. And, you know, it's heartbreaking to experience that. It's heartbreaking. It's devastating. It's crushing. And, to know that, you know, an entity that we've entrusted with so much authority could engage in such, bad behavior, it really speaks to how, there needs to be transparency. There needs to be complete accountability so that when something like this happens, there's an infrastructure in place to deal with it so that the family farmer is made whole. And that's really what we're talking about at the end of the day. And, you know, and again, this is not a party affiliation, political party affiliation issue. It's an American issue and it's a Virginia issue and it's something that we really need to be talking about. And I'm just so grateful and I feel so very blessed and honored and privileged for the amazing people that have really graced my life and my family's life and become a part of our farm family at large. There are people that come to our farm from, some of them drive 3, 4, sometimes 5 hours with their families because they view our farm as almost like making a pilgrimage for liberty, a pilgrimage for freedom. And it's just been an incredible experience. People bring us egg cartons from every corner of the state. We haven't had to buy any egg cartons. The outpouring of love is like nothing I ever dreamed possible. And I just don't know how I can ever thank everyone enough because, that love and that support has made an incredible difference in our lives.
Martha, it's thanks to you that I know about these land trusts mm-hmm. and that what's going on. Are you the only farmer who's being subjected to these horrors, or are all farmers across?
No, certainly not all farmers across the state. In fact, there are those that will say that they're good things, and they are good things. But again, in my particular case, the land trust, the Piedmont Environmental Council, is not a quasi-government agency, not created by the General Assembly. The board of directors are not appointed. It is an entirely private, secretive group of individuals that are not transparent to the public, like a quasi-government land trust would be. And so as a result, there's more opportunity for abuse. And so I would have to say that, again, you know, conservation is not a bad thing. But because there's no oversight in this particular instance, it allowed for really egregious abuse. And so, you know, there are farmers that are extremely happy with the programs. They feel as though they've protected their ability to remain on the farm. But I think that really what this is about is why is it that farmers are forced sometimes to consider a conservation easement when they otherwise would not? And it's because of the overregulation that's stifling and crippling, that's preventing them from being productive on the land.
Okay, so those would be state regulations, state laws that would
and make I would it say difficult. I would say county laws local? Can be, you know, Virginia is a Dillon rule state.
Yes,
fortunately, and that means that, you know, oftentimes counties like to have their own little fiefdoms, their own little kingdoms, and they don't. They like to make rules that sometimes go beyond their authority. And, you know, fortunately, we have a General Assembly in Virginia made up of individuals that are supposed to serve the people. And so in doing so, it allows for the opportunity to pass legislation when there's a need. And certainly there's a need here.
What you're saying is there is a need for these things. It's just that the Piedmont Environmental Council is not one of the good ones, that you think that sometimes they do work?
I think that absolutely conservation can work. It absolutely can work. And I want to make sure I make that clear that it can be a good thing. But when you have a land trust like this one that has so egregiously violated their powers, that's when as a community we have to really step in and really assess whether or not these private land trusts can be trusted to be completely without transparency, because in this case you can see how it's allowed for just unbelievable circumstances that when you have a quasi-government agency, there's more transparency, there's more accountability, there are standards in place. There's predictability, there are standards. In fact, interestingly enough, the Piedmont Environmental Council, and now, Shu, I want you to just brace yourself. Here it comes, because Uh-oh. This is shocking. Are you Uh-oh. Ready? Okay, here it comes.
Should I hang on to
They
the
wanted
table?
To install video. The Piedmont Environmental Council, a 501c3 land trust, they wanted to install video cameras to spy on my family and my farm to see what we were doing.
What?
Yes. Now, I want you to think about that. Now, this is without a warrant, without acting as a police state, wanting to install video cameras to spy on my family farm. Now, that is so outrageous and so egregious, and it violates so many freedoms. I couldn't even begin to list them off to you. But when I said those words, didn't you feel that in your heart? I mean, didn't it just, it was like somebody stabbed you in the heart when you heard those words, I'm sure.
Yeah. No, it is. It's like, how dare they?
Yeah.
I just feel like going down and slapping them. Yeah. I'm not as nice as you are, Martha.
Yeah, imagine if somebody said, I want to install video cameras so that I can spy on what you and your family do every minute of every day. Isn't that chilling? I mean, it just, there's a certain level of absolute lack of respect and compassion and understanding of just basic, you know, property rights.
What on earth are they looking for?
Yeah.
I mean, we have drones that are now being developed.
Absolutely.
And we've heard of people in homeowner associations, condos, having these drones sitting there and monitoring their activities. Homeowners, landowners, property owners are being monitored via satellite. You've had people go through your dirty laundry and your cupboards and your drawers, and now they want to put video camera. I mean, I'm speechless.
Oh, I know. It's just unbelievable. Now, they never did it because they were shut down. Basically, they contacted our state quasi-government land trust with whom they co-hold the easement on this property and said, look, we want to install video cameras so we can spy on Martha Bonetta. At her farm, and they were told, we don't recommend this. We don't think this is a good idea, so they, as far as we know, but who knows.
What are they looking for?
You know, that's a really good question, and you make an excellent point. You just said, what are they looking for? And that's just it. They shouldn't be looking for trouble. They shouldn't be looking to find problems. And yet that's what they've become. They've become a police state agency, and that's really, and it's interesting because it's a double-edged sword, because on the one hand, right, they want to install video cameras to spy on innocent, peaceful farmers. And yet they themselves do not want to be filmed. They actually sent a cease and desist letter to my attorney and myself saying that they forbid us from videotaping them when they did these inspections, because they didn't want the world to see that what they were doing was so abusive and invasive. And my attorney wrote back and said, this is private property. The landowner has a right, if you step foot on that property, has a right to videotape and photograph what you're doing. And if don't do something bad if you don't want to be videotaped. If you're not doing anything wrong,
then you're not going to worry about it.
Then why should you care? So we just started videotaping them. And they were not happy with that. And they tried to make it so that we could not videotape the horrible things they were doing on our own farm. And you know, in one part of the video, they, you know, it's so egregious and so outrageous. The inspector, quote unquote inspector, the land trust, police-like official, is so degrading and demeaning, and is so disrespectful and just so beyond rude. It was, you know, I'm going to tell you what you have to do. So sad. If you don't like it, I'm going to do it anyway. And it speaks to this arrogance that is there because there's no accountability. None whatsoever.
When they came on, did they notify you, or do they just appear when they feel
like it? They give days notice. In the past, they actually came to our property after we told them it was not a good time. I had actually had a death in the family. They showed up even though we told them it was not a good time, and they came anyway, which is just absolutely beyond the scope of reasonable. There was no urgency. There was no emergency that they had to come to my farm. And, you know, it's these actions. You know, we're not talking about one isolated incident, you know, where they forced my family to fence off 20 acres of my farm. That alone would have been egregious. I mean, to have a land trust exceed their authority and force a family against their will to fence off that much acreage of land in a taking, and then later on to say, oops, sorry, we made a mistake. And guess what? To this very day, my family has never, ever been compensated for our lost use and enjoyment, for the fencing materials, for the labor to install and remove and maintain the fence, for the loss ability of being able to graze that portion of our farm, to have our animals find shelter, for our loss and ability to have children play in that part of our farm or to use it for our own enjoyment, never once. And their attitude is, oh, well, so what? We made a mistake. We made you lose that much land for that period of time. So what? So sad. No accountability, no responsibility for their wrongdoing and their bad acts. And that is just absolutely egregious and unconscionable.
It's unconscionable. Yeah. You've got the land now. You can use that 20 acres.
I do, but I had to fight for my rights and my freedom because a land trust did a takings. They said, this land, you have to fence it off. You can't use it. You can't bush hog it. You can't have animals graze there. You can't do anything there. It is sacred earth. And they misrepresented themselves. They misrepresented their authority. They threatened my family with litigation if we didn't do it. So, of course, we did it. And only to find out that it was all smoke and mirrors. They had no authority whatsoever to tell us to do it. And to not immediately as a land trust, to publicly say, we made a horrible mistake. We're going to make right by this family, this farm family that we've abused like this. We're going to fix this. Is so beyond anything you would ever expect from a land trust entrusted with millions and millions of dollars for the acquisition of thousands and thousands of acres of farmland. It's outrageous and egregious.
It's absolutely.
And from there, the abuses continued. So in other words, we're not talking about one isolated incident.
No.
We're talking about a repeated pattern of abuse, time and time and time again. And, you know, throughout this period of time, my mother is terminally ill. She has stage 4 cancer, and she's dying. And my father's 89 and has health issues. And I share this with you because there's time that I have spent fighting to defend my freedom and my ability to farm without fear. Litigation, court. They sued us over a $29 garden hose attachment that you can buy at Lowe's or Home Depot. Now, I want you to think about this. They sued us in civil court because I had a $29 garden hose attachment that you couldn't see from anywhere.
So what does that have to do with anything?
Exactly.
Martha?
Exactly. It was harassment. They sued me over a small stack of tires that farmers use tires for many things on the farm. They can be used for feeding troughs for livestock. They can be used to hold water. They can be used for working with irrigation issues. They can be used for harrowing the fields. They can be used for training animals. So tires are commonplace on our farms. And they again thought it was an assault on the view shed, so that they insisted and demanded that we remove them. And they went as far as to sue us over a stack of tires on a farm. People use tires on farms all the time, but they felt it was necessary to drag us into court over it. So for years and years and years, my family has been abused and terrorized and harassed by an out-of-control land trust.
So I would think that they would feel pretty stupid going into a judge and saying, you know, they've got tires on the farm and we want to sue them, and they've got this $29 hose attachment on the farm that they can't have. I mean, don't they feel idiotic, which is what they are?
Well, the problem is the arrogance of it all. I mean, the hubris is just off the charts. It's, you know, you do as I say or else. You know, and that's the problem with this particular land trust. You know, this is not a kingdom or a serfdom where, you know, when a landowner in good faith purchases a farm with a conservation easement, they don't agree to be abused. They don't agree to be slaves to the land trust. They don't agree to be terrorized and harassed by the land trust. You know, it's supposed to be a partnership. It's supposed to be a wonderful working relationship between the environmental group and the farmer. And it's been so perverted into this terrorizing, police-like relationship. And, you know, I cannot say that that's the case with every land trust. I can only speak from my personal experience with the Piedmont Environmental Council, which has chosen to behave in such a manner that has really made many farmers think twice about ever considering one of these programs. And, you know, I want to be careful to say that, you know, these behaviors are not consistent with the intention of these conservation programs at all. And this is so outrageous and so over the top. And there are many things that we are aware of that we have documented that I can't disclose because we do have, you know, some pending litigation going on. But rest assured that the behavior and the activities that have gone on here are not only disappointing, but I think, you know, I'm heartbroken to know that my family trusted this environmental group, believing that they were who they purported to be. And instead, it has been 8 years of constant harassment, never having a moment of peace, just, you know, always living in terror of what they're going to do next. And nobody should have to live like that. And that's not what these programs are supposed to be about. It's not supposed to be a serfdom. You know, the families that put their properties into conservation easements, you know, they don't give up their freedom as Americans. They don't give up their liberties, their dignity. And that's what's happened here.
Martha, we've got a couple of minutes left before the end of the program, but you've been fined by the county?
The county threatened me with $15,000 per day because of violations.
Oh, that's reasonable, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. And I have not had to pay any of those fines.
Is that over with?
They've never withdrawn them. And, you know, sure enough, through the Freedom of Information Act, through discovery, through whistleblowers, through other means, we found out about this whole coordinated effort between the land trust, these realtors, and the county. So this was all very much orchestrated. One of the supervisors in my county was formerly on the board of directors for the Piedmont Environmental Council. He disclosed publicly I was the subject of an IRS audit before my family ever found out about it.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah,
that.
He wrote emails to the zoning administrator saying, you know, get her for everything you can, fine her for everything you can, you know, aggressively pursue zoning actions against her. Meanwhile, in other parts of the county, things are happening that don't get this level of attention. But because this, you know, we've got record evidence after evidence of evidence of this particular supervisor engaging in acting as an agent for the Piedmont Environmental Council and the realtors. And it's just unfortunate to see that because, again, it's an issue of trust. It's an issue of public trust. And, you know, it's my hope and my prayer that no family ever has to suffer through what my family has. And you know, if I can just, you know, finish by again, you know, not giving up hope and having faith and believing in the power of one, and that is that to have a voice, to be heard, and to not be afraid to speak out.
Thank you so much.
Thank
you, Martha.
It's an honor and a privilege to be here.
For educating us, mm-hmm. because without knowing this, there's really nothing we can do. In 30 seconds, what can we do to help put an end to this?
Absolutely. I would say to contact your legislators, you know, contact your Virginia legislators, contact your legislatures wherever you are in the nation, you know, hearing this, because, having the ability to have awareness is huge. Also, demand legislation, demand accountability and transparency. You know, seek referendum, seek the ability as a taxpayer to have a voice in the millions and millions of dollars that are going towards these efforts. And if there's a private land trust in this case, in this particular case, there's no transparency or accountability. And, please keep in touch. My email address you can contact me at is farmstore@parisbarnes.com. You can also reach me at 571-839-1143. And keep in touch. We'd love to have you visit the farm. And you know, please feel free to reach out to me. And I'm happy to work with anybody in their communities to help organize and create coalitions that will help protect people from violations on their farms.
Thank you so much, Martha. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.